So today I'm going to be talking about health benefits mandates and their potential effects on racial and ethnic groups. So I do quite a bit of work on racial and ethnic disparities in usually the uninsured population. That's usually what we're talking about, is whether or not there's racial and ethnic disparities about people being uninsured. We just heard a great presentation that also had one of the conclusions that race ethnicity really usually matters when it comes to health insurance status, and we find that a lot, very consistent with other studies. But one thing that we don't often see is people looking at race and ethnicity within the insured population. So let's kind of forget about the uninsured, which is hard for me to do. I know it's probably hard for you to do too, because we talk about them so much. But let's forget about the uninsured. And the reason we're forgetting about them is because I work with this project called the California Health Interview Survey that also works with the California Health Benefits Review Program. And it has the wonderful acronym of CHBRP. Sorry, I didn't make it up. I swear to God, that's what it is. California Health Benefits Review Program. We work with the California State Legislature. They have actually commissioned us as UC faculty from the University of California, to look at any health insurance benefit mandate that shows up in the legislature. And so this is very important in today's new world, where all of a sudden everybody's talking about health insurance and benefits and what kind of benefits you can get in the exchange. Well, in California, we've been talking about benefit mandates for a decade now. And we have, I think, more of them than anybody else on the books, certainly one of the highest levels in the country. And we study what happens with those insurance benefits mandates. So because it's insurance benefits mandates, it's only the insured. So that's why we're forgetting about the uninsured. If they don't have insurance, a mandate doesn't cover them. Okay, so we're starting from there. And when you look at the insured population, you find some interesting kind of unintended consequences. So there's the punchline. You're not going to hear what you always hear. Okay, I have no relationships to disclose. And I would like to thank my numerous co-authors on this, each and every one of them who did make a substantive contribution. We really are very much a collaboration at CHBRP and at the Center for Health Policy Research in general. But I'd like to mention in particular John Lewis there at the end, who was our staff representative from that program, and Sophie Snyder, my co-author, who is a MPH GSR graduate student researcher in my program, who's been working with me extensively on this. Okay, so why should all of you, many of you who are not from California, I know one is because I see someone from my center. Anyone else from California? Yay, California. Oh, we have a lot here. Okay, great. But why should you care about California? Well, California is actually 1/10 the population of the country. So if you care about the United States, California is a big part of that. We are highly racially and ethnically diverse. So we like to call ourselves the bellwether of the nation, because if things happen in terms of our demographics, everyone else in the country will see it soon. We're kind of ahead of everyone else. We are, by the way, a minority-majority state already and have been there for quite some time. Now, I talked to you about what CHBRP does. We also create, as part of that program, an extensive cost model. We work with actuaries from Milliman to have this model set up. We already have it set up in January so that when our legislature starts sending us things at the end of January and in February, we have the model ready to go where we can say, how does this health insurance benefit mandate affect the population that we know is insured in California? And much of that model uses the California Health Interview Survey, but when we wanted to look at something which we had never done before, which was racial and ethnic groups, we said, you know what, maybe we shouldn't just be looking at it by insurance buckets. If you have an insurance mandate that only affects the Medi-Cal population, which is our Medicaid program, that's probably going to have a different racial and ethnic group effect, and you should really be thinking about that. So we'd like to kind of talk about that. We used our California Health Interview Survey, which if any of you want to learn more about, you can visit booth 1157. We have a lovely corner booth down there in the exhibit hall. They'll be glad to give you lots of swag. We have this great stress bear. It's been very popular. I put them out. People take them. The California Health Interview Survey is 40,000 households. Every 2 years, we administer the survey in 7 different languages. Absolutely have a linguistic diversity that most surveys don't have. And we have very detailed race ethnicity questions and citizenship questions, which is going to be my question for her at the end, whether we included citizenship. But we include citizenship in our survey as well. So when we think about health insurance benefits mandates, the Affordable Care Act has quite a few. All of these minimum benefits, which hopefully you all have seen this list many times over the past few years, the things that are included. In 2014, these essential health benefits will not only be part of the insurance packages offered inside the state-based marketplaces, but also the packages offered outside as well. And so far, there really has been this lack of racial and ethnic data just in the insured population. We did a very extensive lit review and found thousands of studies on comparing racial and ethnic groups among insured versus uninsured. But nobody really said, okay, let's look at insurance disparities within the insured population and this question of whether or not benefit mandates make a difference. So that is our question. What is the effect of health benefits mandates on racial and ethnic group disparities in terms of their access to health care through health insurance? So to answer that, we created this. And hopefully you can all see it. I believe the slides are online. Is that right? When that happens, after the convention. After the convention, go look at this. And God willing, you're going to see it published in a journal article next year, right? So, but right now, you can see it up here. This is our cost model buckets of what the insurance characteristics look like in California. So you see the top, it says large group, small group. So large group is employers with over 50. Employees, small group is employers with under 50, which we've been hearing a lot about with the Affordable Care Act, right? So that kind of division should be familiar to you. Individual, so those are people who go out and buy insurance on their own. That's a whole private market. And then the public market on the end. So you can see every one of the private market is divided up into two different kinds of regulators. In California, we like to do things many different ways. So we have two different kinds of regulation, one just for managed health care and one that's through our Department of Insurance for both large group, small group, and individual. And then our public programs, we have something called CalPERS, and then we have HMOs for 65 and, it should say 65 and over, got cut off there, HMOs for under 65 and then healthy families. And the HMO 65 and over and the HMO under 65, those are both our Medi-Cal programs. Okay, so that's people who are on Medi-Cal who have the HMOs who are in those age groups. So what we did is we took those top line buckets and we divided them up by the race and ethnic groups that you see on the left-hand side. And that is actually an aggregation of the racial and ethnic groups that are available in CHIS. We actually had to collapse groups together. So many surveys just say maybe white, Hispanic and other, maybe even white and other. Our survey, we had to aggregate to five categories. So we have Latino, non-Latino white, non-Latino black, non-Latino Asian, and Native Hawaiian and other Pacific Islander, for those of you who are not familiar with the NHOPE designation, and then other, meaning people that designate themselves as some other single race, or the most growing population in our state, which is people that designate as two or more races and say that they equally identify with both. So then what we did is we divided up the populations from CHIS into these buckets and saw what shook out. And so what you can see, the really significant findings are the ones in dark green. You can see that in the large group population, Latinos, 31% are in the DMHC regulated large group, but only up to 66% of HMO under 65. And remember, the Latino population is almost 50% of our total population. We're thinking of proportionalities there. And in the healthy families, it's actually 71% down at the end. Non-Latino white is 45% in the DMHC regulated and only 14% of the Medi-Cal HMO. And then when you look at that large group DOI regulated, the difference between males and females is also there. And those two populations add up to the light green above. The male and female populations together add up. So you can see that men are disproportionately represented. We do have an even 50-50 split nearly for men and women. So when you see something like 33.5% and 26.4%, that's certainly a disproportionality in that population. So when we look at these findings, we do see that there are disproportionalities. That's the first question. Maybe everybody was going to be proportionally represented. That was what we had to find out first. We found out, no, they're not. Okay? And I just went through these findings for you while they were up there on the screen. And also one thing I didn't mention was that African Americans comprise 11% of Medi-Cal managed care, but only 2% of large group non-HMO plans. So the question then is, how does this affect health insurance benefits mandates? And the way that we looked at that is we took this table that we had created and treated it like a base cost model, and then looked at a health insurance benefit mandate that we had looked at in the past before to see, well, if we had taken that analysis and applied it more refined way with these racial and ethnic groups, what would happen? And so we took a tobacco cessation bill. And one of the reasons we did tobacco cessation is because tobacco cessation has been done so many times before. There is a very wide body of literature that states that this is a good thing, that it's good across all racial and ethnic groups, that take-up is usually about the same. I mean, all of these things have been well-established by the literature. And also the bills on tobacco cessation are unusually exact and honestly kind of good bills. You'd be surprised. Sometimes legislators don't know what they're writing about when they try to propose a topic and they write a bill that is incredibly vague and very difficult to analyze. Tobacco cessation, not so much, because everybody is very familiar with that topic. And so the bill that we looked at is something that had very specific, and we had cost measures that we were very able to actually measure, as opposed to just saying we are have unknown parameters, so we don't know. So that's why we looked at the tobacco cessation bill. Now, what we found, though, was that it was kind of an unexpected finding. Because the individual market actually had the lowest rate of having coverage for tobacco cessation, and Medicaid actually had full coverage for tobacco cessation already, the mandate would disproportionately benefit non-Latino wealthier whites. So if you're trying to help poor Latinos in California, let's say, with a health insurance benefit mandate somehow, and you propose this mandate to do it because you want to give them coverage, the fact is, what we know from the market already is that they already have coverage through the program that they're disproportionately represented in, which is the Medi-Cal program, and you would actually end up helping people that you might not necessarily have been intending to help. Or maybe if that's the population you wanted to help in terms of equity, that would be, you know, something to think about. But really, it's more of an idea of there might be unintended consequences in terms of racial and ethnic disparities. So the conclusion is, and these are some very long and lengthy conclusions. I tried to underline and highlight the important bits, but this is really the point of our paper and wanted to get this across, is that it's something to keep in mind that there can be these disproportional benefits, and you have to know where you start from. So it's incredibly important to be able to collect the data on the insured population, to be able to look at the racial and ethnic breakdown of the insured population before you kind of just go throwing out these insurance benefit mandates willy-nilly, let's say. And that policymakers need to have this good data in front of them so that they don't end up with unintended consequences that perhaps they're not going for, both positive and negative. In this particular example, a population that was unexpectedly helped was unexpectedly helped. But perhaps in another example, you would end up with a different kind of positive unintended consequence on racial and ethnic disparities. And then I wanted to put these up here for you. This is my email address. And then also, those are the two websites, one for our research center and one for the California Health Interview Survey. I encourage you to look at both, and I look forward to your questions at the end. Thank you.